friends. The whole concept of circles is learning to manage the relationships of our life. In other words, learning to manage your life. And we begin with what we call the core. And the Bible says, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life, or the well springs of life. You live out of your heart. You live out of your core. It doesn't matter if you know God or not. You live from your heart. And what is in your heart is what comes out. What's in your heart to in abundance is what comes out. It dictates your life. You have a philosophy of life. And that's what you live. And you say, well, I don't have a philosophy. Well, then that's the philosophy that you live. And your life is probably chaotic. And things happen in your life. And if you wonder, why is my life in such a mess? Look back to your heart. Look back to your core. We're learning to live out of the core, but we're learning to order it aright. So the first thing that we had to talk about is our relationship with God. And we talked about, first of all, learning to live loved. Learning to live loved by the Father. We all need a revelation of God's love for us. We need to know that it's unconditional, that it's not based on our performance, that God loves people who go to hell. Did you know that? God loves people who goes to hell. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See, He didn't give His Son for the saints. He gave His Son for the sinners. And we've all qualified for that, haven't we? So God didn't love us when we were lovely. He loved us when we were unlovely. And that's the revelation of the cross, and that's the message of the gospel, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So our message to the world is that you've been reconciled to God. You just need to receive that reconciliation into your life, and you can be right in your heart. God loves you unconditionally. Now, you say, well, if He loves me, then everybody's going to heaven. No, that's not true. God gave us the choice, and God honors the choices that we make in our life. That does not mean He agrees with them. That does not mean that He endorses them or approves of them. And that does not mean that there are not consequences to those choices. God will protect your right to reject His Son if that's what you choose to do. He will. He will protect your right to go to hell. And He will carry out the choices that you make in your life. See, you are in control of your destiny. God's not in control of your destiny. God has a destiny for you, but you have to choose it. And when we choose to learn to live loved by God, then we can have a relationship with God that's not based on us having to earn His love. And that's the way we need to see. When we begin to learn this in our core, that becomes the philosophy of our life and the philosophy of all of our relationships that we have. That you need to learn to love your spouse unconditionally. You need to learn to love your children unconditionally. They don't need to have to earn your love. You'll mess your kids up if you make them earn your love. Did you know that? You'll mess them up. You don't need to make your friends earn your love. We need to learn to love like we're loved, and that's unconditionally. Now, that does not mean that we approve of everything that everybody does, but our love is not based on performance. Our love is based on the fact that we are loved by God. Can you say amen? That's good stuff. Then we talked about choosing to love God. God does not make you love Him. You have to choose to love God. And as we learn to choose to love God, that doesn't just mean that anything goes. That means that we find out what it is that means. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, it's not just a show up relationship whenever you choose to. God doesn't just show up in your life when He chooses to. Why do you choose to just show up in His life whenever you choose? No, He wants us to choose to love Him back and to give our life to Him. And then we talked about learning to live in fellowship with God. See, there's a difference in being in a relationship and being in fellowship. There's a lot of folks who are married, but their marriage is in chaos because there's no communication going on. There's a lot of kids that are messed up because there's no communication going on. They're related by blood, but there's no communication. There's no going back and forth going on in the family. And it becomes dysfunctional. I'm preaching fast today, aren't I? I've got a lot of ground to cover. But it becomes dysfunctional. We do not need dysfunction in Christian homes. We do not need dysfunction in the church. We have been dysfunctional, but listen, we need to learn to be healed. We need to learn to recover. And I got news for you. Whether you come to celebrate recovery or not, you're still in recovery. You may have never had a drug, alcohol problem in your life, but you still need to be in recovery. I don't say that you need to go to celebrate recovery. It wouldn't hurt you. But you're still in recovery. If you're a human being, a fallen human being, whether you're redeemed or not, you are still in need of recovery. See, Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. If Jesus died for you, you ought at least live for Him. If He gave His body to die for you, you ought to give your body to live for Him. But don't be conformed to the world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't live like the world. But be transformed, renewing your mind. That's recovery. Because we have stinking thinking. Zig Ziglar says, we need a checkup from the neck up to avoid stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes. And we do. We get into stinking thinking and hardening of the attitudes many times in our life. We need to renew our minds. It starts in your heart. It starts with you and God. It needs to flow. Your life needs to flow out of a healthy relationship and a healthy fellowship with God. Say amen. All right, we're going to talk about friendship today. And this covers a whole vast lot of things, but I got a couple of quotes, friend quotes that I want to give you. Number one, do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. How many know that's not a good friend? Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. Well, there's some friends up there, isn't it? Real friends. Okay? Here's the second one. A friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view. I like that one. A friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view. They accept you like you are. Now, they know that you need to change, but they accept you like you are. Kind of like God does. Just kind of like God does. God sees you like you are. God loves you like you are, but He still sees that you need to change. He is the constant. We're the variable. He is the one that's perfect. We're the one that's imperfect. The perfect being accepts us, but He works His change in us as we let Him do that. John 15:15 says this, and this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." See, Jesus came to show us a side of God that the Old Testament didn't really show us. You know, the Old Testament God and the New Testament God are the same God. It doesn't seem like they are. But Jesus came to show us the real heart of the Father. And He says, you know what? I'm God. I'm not hiding myself from you. I don't want you to be my servant. I want you to be my friend. You know what? One thing I know about friends is they serve each other. If you get the friendship part down, the servant part won't be a problem. Too many people see themselves as servants of God. And we are servants of God, but we choose out of our friendship with God to serve Him and to love Him. And then in Proverbs 18:24 it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And His name is Jesus. Jesus is our friend. So Jesus models the friendship that needs to be our core is that He wants us to be friends with Him. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to be the ruler of our life. But listen, it is a thing through friendship that He wants it. And He wants us to be in life good friends. And out of this friendship, this should be the catalyst. This should be the impetus for every relationship that we have. Let me ask you a question. Should husbands and wives be friends? Yeah. One of the big problems that we have in relationships is that we skip the friendship stuff. We're too quick to hop in the bed together before we're married. And, you know, we get all of that stuff. See, I make my son squirm when I talk about stuff like this. But it's true. We don't develop friendship before we get to the intimate stuff. The friendship should come first, then the marriage, and then the other stuff. Okay, thank you. Doreen's with me. It's true. You can't say amen, say oh me. It's so anyhow. But many a potential match has been messed up because of the lack of friendship. I am friends with my sons. I haven't always been friends with them because I had to beat them. I had to raise them. But now that they're grown, I can be their friend. I'm still their father, but I can be their friend now. It's not healthy for a parent to be friends with their adolescent children. You're a parent. You have to raise them. You have to discipline. You have to be the bad guy sometimes. That's not a good thing. Try to be friends with your kids is a disaster. This is friendship. Okay? It needs to be peer friends. But it doesn't need to be until they're grown. When they become grown, you can become friends then. So, all of our friendship should flow out of our core shaped by our friendship with God. Because it will determine the range and the purpose of all other friendships. Now we're going to talk about friendship today. And there are five Greek words in the New Testament that is translated friends. And it kind of describes it describes different styles or different kinds of friendship. The first one is agapetos, which means beloved. It means favorite. And one of the places that this word is used is at the baptism of Jesus when the Father spoke and He says, "This is my beloved," and that's that word agapetos, "Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In another place, it is translated as a dear friend, a favorite friend. You know, a lot of people have those kind of friendships in their life where they have somebody who is their favorite friend. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your family, although it could be a family member. But I'm talking about friendship. That there is somebody in your life who has meant so much to you and they are so near and dear to you that they are your best friend, they're your favorite friend. There is a closeness that is beyond any other friendship that you have. This is a circle. Now one of the things that we need to talk about circles is the reason that we have circles is not to exclude, it's to learn to include. Too many times we build boxes in our lives. We compartmentalize our lives and we keep people out of our lives. We even keep God out of certain parts of our lives because we separate the secular and the spiritual. We don't need boxes in our lives. We need circles in our lives. There's no such thing as He's my Lord on Sunday, but He's not on Monday. Why? Listen, what's that old song? Don't sin on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's an old hymn. We don't sing that one here, thank God. when you got all these other days that you can sin and live like hell, that's called you're compartmentalizing your life. You're saying, this is my church life, this is my spiritual life, but this is my private life. No, there's no such thing. It's your life. And we don't need to build boxes in our lives. We need to build circles in our lives. We need to build circles that include God is in every circle of my life. If He is not in every circle in my life, then I have a box that keeps Him out. And see what happens when you box God out? The part of your life that you box God out of is the part of your life that's dying. You may have an improper relationship with somebody. You know that you shouldn't be in this dating relationship with somebody. You shouldn't be in this friendship with somebody because it's destructive. But you choose to be in that friendship anyway, and it's dragging you down. Listen, that's because God's not involved in that. If God is your core, if God is your reason, if God is your purpose, if you're living out of the core, it will determine all of your other relationships. And if it doesn't fit in that, guess what? That person has to go to a father circle because they cannot influence what I'm doing. See, my highest calling in life, and yours too, is to bring glory to God. And the people in my life that come into my life that try to detract me from that, although I'm going to put them in a circle, it's going to be a circle way out here where they cannot influence me very much. I definitely wouldn't marry somebody like that. Okay? I definitely wouldn't be a close friend with someone like that. Well, you have to make boundaries. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the first kind of friendship is this agapetos. And this can be a two-edged sword. You know, there are some people that they can only have one friend in their life. I think that is so limiting. Have you ever been in a friendship with somebody that you were close with them and if you talk to somebody else, they got jealous? That's called dysfunctional. That's a problem. That's a problem. We'll talk about that in a minute. The second kind of friend is the Greek word Philos. We get the word Philadelphia from this, and this means brotherly love. This is a helping and caring relationship between two people. This could be somebody that you're a companion with. I'm not talking about spouse, but somebody that you do mutual things with. They're not a close friend, but they're not just a distant friend. They're more than just an acquaintance. It may be somebody that you go to church with. It may be somebody that you work with. And that's a circle too. Listen, you have to manage your friendships. You have to set priorities to your friendships just like you do with your marriage, your family, your relationship with God. You have to manage these two. Listen, what you don't manage in your life will manage you. See, I think the whole question about life is, do you want to be in control out of your God core? Or do you want everything else controlling your life? See, if you don't do some things in your life, all you're doing is reacting at everything that comes at you. Every relationship, every person that's wanting a piece of you, they're pulling at you and they're pulling at you. And if you don't have filters, if you don't have boundaries, if you don't have things set up in your life, listen, you will lose control of your life. I want everybody to say this word with me. No. Turn and look at your spouse and say, no. No. We need to learn how to say that word. Now say with me, yes. Look at your spouse and say, you say yes. Yes. We need to know how to say yes and how to say no. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say yes. It's okay to say no to certain things. I don't expect you to say yes to everything I ask you to do. I don't expect you to say no to everything I ask you to do. Okay? But you have to manage these things. The third kind of relationship that the Bible talks about is the word adelphos. And it means a brother or an associate. Someone of the same nationality. My fellow Americans. Okay, so this is a... It could be a natural brother. It could be somebody that's like a brother. But there's a commonality here. It's not your best friend. It may not even be brotherly love type friend. But it could be that just things that you have in common. It could be a brother or sister in Christ. It could be any kind of relationship. See, there's different kinds of friends that we have in our life. Then there was another one that I found that I thought was interesting. And it's the Greek word gnostos, which means a notable or an acquaintance. There are people that you know and that you're acquainted with, but you're not that close to. Are they considered to be friends? Yes. Yes. There are people that I know, that I'm acquainted with. When I see them, I know them. When they see me, they know me. But we walk in and out of each other's lives and we are friends, but we don't spend a whole lot of time together. Can there be an advantage to having that kind of an acquaintance? Yes. I have friends in my life that if I have certain needs, I go and talk to these friends. Tom Underhill is one of my great friends. We're more than just acquainted. We're brothers in Christ. We're not best friends. We don't hang out together. We don't fish together. We don't chum together. But we have a brotherly love between us. So we're probably that second layer of friend. And I know that if I need something and I need to ask or bounce something off somebody, I can pick up the phone and call the office and they'll say, well, he's not in. I said, would you have him call me? He'll call me because we're friends. Now, I can't do that with some people. They might even know my name, but we're not that close of friends. I might be able to send them a text or something or an email and they might answer that. But you have different friends for different reasons in your life. They can speak into your life, but they don't have to be close. We need those kind of associations in our life. Those are good things to have. See, one thing that we need to, as Christians, we need to be expanding our sphere of influence. We need to be making friends with people. All kinds of friends. All kinds of friends. I have lots of friends. Listen, but you know what? I don't really have, and I'm not talking about outside of family, I don't really have a best friend. I don't. I have lots of friends. I have male friends. I have female friends. I'm careful about the females. Okay? I'm serious. I am. I'm careful about those friendships. But I have lots of female friends. I have a lot of male friends. And they're all tiered in one of these kind of areas. But I don't have somebody that's just the best friend. I don't think I need one. If I need one, I guess God will send me one. But I don't have that level of friendship. I don't have that need for that. But I have so many kind of people that I can talk to. If I want to influence or be influenced, then I know who I can go talk to. They are my friends. I don't have to have them in my life. They walk in and out of my life. But guess what? We're still friends. And we have to and need to learn to manage those kind of friendships as well. Now, the last kind is the kind I really never thought about. And it's the word paideon, which means young children. I'm looking for a young child. They're not supposed to be in here, but some of them are. Young children. Can I borrow a kid? I need to borrow a kid. How about right here? Pink, come here. Come here, right here. You with a broken arm. Come on up here. You say, come on up here. Come on up here with me. What's your name?
Brandon.
What?
Brandon.
What?
Brandon.
R-A-N?
D-O-E.
This is Randon. What's your last name?
Rounds.
Randon Rounds. There's a scripture in the New Testament where Jesus was in a crowd and the little kids were trying to get to him and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus rebuked the disciples. You know what he said? He said, "Suffer the paideon to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." Now Jesus used this word with his disciples. He called them that one time because he was in that kind of relationship with them. Let me challenge you to do something as an adult. And Nancy loves this stuff because this is her whole heart. We have lots of paideons in this church. Now notice this. Look up at me. Here. Reckon this is a little bit intimidating if I do this? Well, what if I do this right here? What if I get down on his level? Give me five. All right. That arm's not as bad as he's letting on, is it? I believe he's using that arm. Now, when you get home and mom says, "Go clean your room," go, Let me ask you a question. Should we as adults have children as our friends? Can we be friends to our to children besides our children? Let's give him a good hand for coming up here. He's brave. Thank you. A lot of times we see children as just something that's in the way. The church needs to understand that the kids are the main thing. Just like the adults are the main thing, the children are the main thing. And we can be friends with children. Get down on their level. I stand out front in the hot sometimes and in the cold. And I'm out there and I'm high-fiving kids when they come in. I got a bunch of little pretty girls. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about little girls. And they come up to me and you know what they want? They want a hug. They want their hug. I get down, I love on them, I brag on them, tell them how pretty they are. Why? I want them to know that their pastor is their friend. That their pastor loves them. It's not just Miss Nancy that loves them. Their pastor loves them too. And I'm their friend. I'm no different than you. Get down on your knees and talk to some of these kids. Connect with them. You'll be surprised. You don't know. You don't know what goes on in some of these children's lives. You can be an influence with children. But you have to do it on purpose. See, so many times when we're doing this and we're talking and we're mingling and mixing, drop down on a knee and talk to a kid sometime. I'll even make the parents wait sometimes while I talk to the kid. Why? Because they're just as important. They're friends too. I think that if we'll do that, I think we can have some healthy relationships. Amen. So what do we do with friendship relationships? Number one, we manage them. You have to manage your relationship. Ask yourself this question. Who am I around? Who am I around? You got to evaluate who you hang out with. Is it constructive or is it destructive? If it's destructive, guess what? I'm pushing the circle out. I'm not saying they can't be a part of my life. They're not going to be a close part of my life. I don't need to be in a situation where they're going to keep me from doing what I need to do. Okay? I can still be a role in their life to encourage them, but they're not going to be one of the inner tier circles because why? They pull away from me. You have to manage your relationships. Well, what if I hurt their feelings? Let me ask you a question. Do I want God to be glorified in my life through the way that I live my life and what I'm able to do for the kingdom? Or do I want to allow a dysfunctional person to control my time and keep me from doing what I need to do? Now, they can still be my friend, but guess what? It's going to be out here. It's not going to be right here. You got to have people. You see, you got to have people in your life up here for a couple of reasons. And it's mutual. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, who am I around? Evaluate your relationship. Number two, what are they doing to me? Where do they have me going? What do they have me doing? What do they have me thinking? What do they have me reading? What do they have me listening to? How do they have me talking? How do they make me feel? What do they have me saying? You are affected by the people that you hang out with. You are affected and influenced by people that speak into your life. Do they inspire me to grow, or do they keep me from growing? Are they inspiring me to reach and stretch and grow, or are they hindering me from doing that? Listen, I want the people closest to me that can speak into my life. I don't know about you, but I'm not through growing yet. I'm shrinking this way, but I'm growing this way. I'm growing this way. I'm growing this way. I have to push myself to do that. And I need people in my life that can encourage that. I need people in my life that can say things to me, friends, maybe things that even hurt my feelings. A real friend will hurt your feelings. I get so mad sometimes reading Facebook. I see somebody and you know the situation, and you see that they've started this relationship and it's a destructive relationship, and people get, "Oh, I'm so happy for you and so. I just think that's just a wonderful thing." And I'm thinking, you're not a friend. Sometimes you need to say some things to people that'll hurt their feelings. When you tell people what they want to hear, you're not being their friend. I'll drink to that. Sometimes a friend will look at you and say, "You're so full of it." And it'll hurt your feelings. And you'll say, "You're not my friend no more." No, they're the best friend that you may have because they're telling you the truth. And all of these other folks are just blowing smoke up your britches legs. Did I say that good? Okay. So what do they have me doing? Now, the next thing that we need to talk about in managing relationships is this a mentor relationship or a mentoring relationship? I need friends in my life who are mentoring me, who are speaking into my life and causing me to grow. I need people in my life who I am mentoring. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Let's take me off the hook. I want you to think about this. Who right now is your mentor? Think in your mind. Who is your mentor? I don't have one. Why not? Have you quit growing? Who is your mentor? Number two, who are you mentoring? I'm not talking about your children either. Who are you mentoring? Who are you mentoring in Christ? Who are you speaking into somebody else's life? Well, nobody. Aren't you a friend? We need friendships. We have to grow. And we grow two ways, by being mentored and by mentoring. It's a two-way thing. It's not all just somebody speaking into my life. You really grow. You know what? Your feet will teach your heart and your head. And there are some things that you can't learn just by reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. But when you do the Word, it takes you to a new level of the Bible that you didn't even know was possible. And if you never put feet to what the Word says, guess what? You're not going to grow. You're going to grow to the level that you can study. Study will only take you so far. It's when you begin to do that you begin to grow. And that's by being mentored and by mentoring somebody else. Who are you mentoring? Asking a lot of questions today, aren't I? And then there's this mutuality. The next aspect of friendship is mutuality. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Sometimes a friend will get you through a hard spot. Sometimes you'll get a friend through a hard spot. I love Ecclesiastes 4:10. It says, this describes friendship. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, this is not talking about a bad relationship, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? We got electric blankets now, don't we? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, there's these relationships called friendships where there is mutual benefit in these things. Let me tell you something about a one-way friendship. It's not really friendship. When one person does all the giving, and the other one does all the taking, that is not a friendship. That is called dysfunctional. We have marriages like that. We have children that are being raised like that. And we have friendships that are like that. That is not real friendship. Mutuality. I want to close with this thought. Job's coming. Some people come into our lives and quickly go. Others stay a while, make footprints on our hearts, and we are never, ever the same. Choose your friends wisely. Manage the circles of your life, of your friendships. Amen.